Pastor Lane Stockton.
Yeah, good evening. Good to see all of you
here. Had a
night.
Not so far.
Well, we'll get rid of
that thing. And we'll go straight to here. All right. Good to have all of you here. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you stopped in this Wednesday night to have church with us. Good to have all the kids in from the bus route. Looks like their bus routes are continuing to grow, and we're asking God to continue to bless them on Sunday mornings as well, that we might be able to get more families into the house of God through our bus ministry. The girls in the teen zone said to tell the church again they won tonight's contest. That's 3 weeks in a row, and they wanted to let everybody know that they're way ahead of the boys in 2017. I told the boys, we're going to have to start arm wrestling if y'all going to win, because anything spiritual, y'all not getting. So they are going to have to start studying more in the Word of God. We had a good time tonight over there, and good to see all of you. Let's go to Deuteronomy this evening, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. And we're going to talk about something that's probably not a good subject for some people. Chastisement. Chastisement. We had over in the youth zone, we had about 15 minutes before it started, and the entire time they talked about school today. I wouldn't think that they'd want to talk about school, but that's all they talked about. What's going on in school, what's going on here, or there at their school, particular schools, and So maybe tonight we'll enjoy this. I don't know. But we're going to talk about the purpose of God's chastening hand. The purpose of God's chastening hand. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 5, Deuteronomy 7, 5, but thus shall ye deal with them, ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, cut down their groves, their graven images, with fire. Verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him, unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The chastening hand of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, the passage just read made it very clear that God was talking to the children of Israel, his chosen people. Now we in the New Testament are to be a peculiar people. We're God's children. We're not of this here earth. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims on our way through. And so this here chastening, as we look at it, if you begin to study it, if you go back to Leviticus 26, the first mention in the Bible is connected with sins of God's people. In Leviticus chapter number 26 and verse 28. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse number 28. The Bible says in Leviticus 26, 28, then I will walk contrary unto you, also in fury. This is Leviticus 26, 28. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. Now, as parents, we don't want to chastise our children. We don't want to discipline our children for no reason at all. And for sure, God, being a God of grace and mercy and judgment, he's not looking just to chastise us just simply because he can. Just to be honest with you, he can. If that's what he wanted to do, just, Brother Ray, just spank us all day long. But that's not the God that we serve, and that's not the reason. There is a reason, just like it says in Proverbs 22, the curse causeless shall not come. Chastisement doesn't just come in our life just because God doesn't have anything else to do. It comes for a reason. And here, God's telling the children of Israel there in verse 28 of Leviticus, says, I will chastise you seven times for your sins. So I began to look at that and study it, and looked through the Word of God and trying to figure out why and what is the purpose of God's chastening hand. And it helps us as human fathers and mothers, as parents, it helps us as people of authority to know that there's sometimes that you have, there has to be chastening. There has to be that time. Sometimes you have to do it. And I'll be honest with you. My wife would tell you first, if you ask her, that I personally, I don't like having to confront somebody, but it's just simply the position that I'm in many times, being the pastor, that I have to, you know, and need to know how to do it. I guess that's what I want. I said, well, if there's times I'd have to talk to somebody, say for instance, unfaithfulness, you know, Sunday school teachers or choir members or bus workers or, you know, choir directors. I have to talk about, you know, you have to know how. And so I needed to know how. So I began to study out how God does it. Well, the purpose of God's chastening, if you look over in 1 Peter, you notice it, that it is to humble us. To humble us. In 1 Peter chapter 5. Sometimes, I guess, we begin to think as God's children, maybe, that we are bigger than we should be. We have confidence in areas that we should not have confidence on. So God desires that we be humble. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says there, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. We can say for sure that God is an everlasting God. So we're not, this is talking about submitting each other here, younger to older, but when we're looking at God's purpose, God's chastening hand, well, we certainly should be submissive to Him. And this is how God wants to do it. It says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So the purpose of chastening sometimes by God would be to humble us. We're just a little bit too big for our own good. We're too proud, and we need to be humbled. And God comes wrong and chastens us there, and helps us to get ourselves back under check. That, hey, we need God in our lives day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. There's no time in our life, whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're in the valley, we need God. And sometimes we get to the point where it says, I can handle this, I don't need God, I don't need this, I don't need that. I'll give you an example. One time I was counseling with a young man, and I'd been counseling for a while and spending time with him. And I want you to know something, if I counsel with you, my counsel is going to come from the Word of God. I'm a Bible preacher. I'm not a psychiatrist. I didn't take psychology. I'm going to give you scripture. And so as time went by, I was showing him scripture, showing this and dealing with him with scripture. And he came in and he began to talk with me and spend time with me. And as he sat on the other side of the desk, I reached and I took my Bible and I was going to show him a scripture that came to my mind. And he said, Pastor, you've done showed me everything there is from the Bible. So I closed the Bible, I bowed my head in prayer, and I said, I guess we're done. And we prayed. Boy, his eyes got big. He was at the point where Scripture was not going to help him. He was too proud to handle the Bible, and we cannot be that way. And sometimes God comes around, and with His chastening hand, He humbles us, because He says here, God resisteth the proud. He resists the proud. Secondly, I'd have you to know, if you look over in Jeremiah chapter 31, back in the Old Testament, we're talking about the purpose of God's chastening, and then we need to try to emulate that. We need to try to see how God chastens, and then we emulate that in our lives, and sometimes somebody's got to come along and humble us a little bit and let us know that, hey, you don't know all that you really think you know. And Jeremiah 31 and verse number 18. Listen to what it says here. Jeremiah 31 and 18, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastened me, and I was chastened as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Verse 19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. So God comes along sometimes and chastens because we're too proud. He wants to humble us. And then he brings chastening into our lives, like it says here, that he might use that chastening to bring us to repentance. Sometimes it's a little too stiff-necked. Sometimes we understand that we've done wrong, but we are not turning from that. And so God brings chastening along in our lives that we might turn from that, that we might repent. Like it says here in verse 18, Ephraim says, I was chastened as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. You understand, we live in a day and age where folks are just not accustomed to submitting themselves to authority. That's what's going on around us. They're not accustomed to it. And so when they get in trouble, they throw a hissy fit. I mean, they just throw a fit. They get all mad and upset and make a scene out of something. The other day I was reading an article where a teacher, she had a policy that when you entered her classroom, that there's a box by the door that you, and it had your name there, you dropped your cell phone in your slot by the door. When you left out, you took the cell phone, you went on out with the cell phone. Now, I'll tell you, parents were going crazy about a policy where the teacher, but then as soon as that child gets an F on report card because they're texting and not paying attention, and, you know, Facebooking and Snapchatting throughout class, and they can't pay attention, they want to be mad at the teacher that way. So listen, sometimes there's chastening hand of God brings it, so we'll simply repent. Listen, God does not, he's a forbearing God. He's long-suffering, the Bible says, long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So sometimes that chastening hand of God works in there, and he comes in so he can work us around to repentance. I remember growing up, my grandma watching me. I don't know about grandmas nowadays, but my grandma, if she took a notion, if I was doing bad, she just whooped me. So simply as that. Just, she just took care of it. There it wasn't a lot, wasn't often, not that I didn't need it often, but it wasn't often that she did it. But when she did it, I had really done crossed the line, and she just took it across there and brought chastening upon me there so that I would get right. So I quit doing wrong, you know. And so sometimes God brings that chastening around so we can repent. And then look at Isaiah 26, if you would. Here's another reason, the purpose of God's chastening. He wants to humble us. He wants to bring us to repentance. You know, God desires fellowship with us. If we're not right with him, we can't fellowship. We cannot. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, and verse 16. Look what it says here in Isaiah 26:16. Kids, I appreciate how quiet you are sitting tonight. Y'all are doing a great, great job. I appreciate that very much. Isaiah 26:16, the Bible says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee, they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Sometimes the purpose of God's chastening is that you'll come talk with him. Prayer. God wants to bring us and lead us to a place where we will communicate. Sometimes I think we as Christians get to thinking that prayer is like, you know, we've got to repeat these certain things, but prayer is communicating with God. It's talking with God. And the Bible says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Sometimes the purpose of God's chastening is that you just come around and talk to him. You know, sometimes, you know, we look at everything we want to do. We got these plans. We got these ideas. We lay out what we want to do. And we just headlong going into that. And we haven't once talked to God about it. And before God wants to let us get so far down that road that we're just in, like the prodigal son, eating the slop of the pig pen, God sometimes brings some chastening around, so we'll just stop and talk and be still and listen to what he's got to say. Sometimes the chastening purposes of God is just to bring us to communicate with him. Bring us to a point of prayer that we'll just pray, lay our hearts and say, Lord, and I'm going wrong. And this little spanking that you just gave me, it could get worse. And Lord, I don't want it to get worse. Just that pricking of the Holy Spirit of God, that conviction. That's just tapping you. Hey, you're going the wrong way there. How many of you have been speeding? Going down the road, you know, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, those lights just flash. And they go off. And he lets you go on by. Has that ever happened to any of you? That little bit of chest. Oh, Lord, thank you. Man, you started praying, didn't you? God, help me. Get off the brake. Get on the brake. Get slowing down a little bit. And that was a man, a police person, you know, just flashing. Sometimes God in his grace just flashes a little bit at you. Say, hey, wake up. Just, you can get worse around here. Get really bad. He just a little bit, just to get your attention. Lord, help me. I need you in my life. So there's that humbling. There's that bringing us to repentance. There's that praying that God desires for us. Look over in Psalms. You know what's amazing? When I started looking at this and trying to see the purpose of God's chastening and how God chastened, I found all the answers in the Bible.
Amen.
That's amazing, isn't it? But it's deep, isn't it? That's why we all have one. We need to get in it. We need to study. It's just a little simple little study here tonight, but this is some amazing stuff to know how our God deals with us. And if we deal with people like God deals with them, man, you can't go wrong. You certainly can't go wrong. Look in Psalms 94. Psalms 94. Verse number 12. So he wants to humble us. He wants to bring us to repentance. He wants us to pray. And then look at this verse. Verse 12, chapter 94 of the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. I mean, I've gotten plenty of spankings in my life. I remember my football coach. Good Lord Almighty. We got spankings by our football coach. I don't know about y'all. I got plenty of them. Plenty of them. If you got a C on a report card, you got a spanking. It's just that simple. You can get the spanking. Never once, look at what it says, verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastest. Never once I look at my coach and say, oh, thank you, coach. I appreciate it. Bless you, coach. Blessed is the man whom thou chastest, the Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Sometimes God chastens us so that we can learn from the Bible. So we can learn from his word. You know, a while ago I told you I found all these here things we talk about in the Bible. Sometimes when we are looking for spiritual answers, Chris, last place we go is the Bible.
Right.
Last place we go is to God's Word. And then when we go there, you know what we're doing? We get out our little Bible program and we're trying to cross-reference something to make the Bible say what we want to do is okay. We're looking for a preconceived answer. So sometimes, listen, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Sometimes God brings chastening in our life so that he can just get us to grasp Scripture. How many of you ever done this yourself? Don't raise your hand. Don't, please don't. Or you know somebody that done this, don't call out their name, please. Oh yeah, Brother Jim was like that. No, don't do that. How many of you have seen in black and white, plain commandments of the Word of God, and you made this statement. I think I'll pray it. I'll pray about that. I mean, absolute, plain commands of the Word of God. You said, you know, I think I need to pray about that. God has brought that to your attention, not for you to pray about it. He's revealed that, showed it to you, so you can be obedient to that. And sometimes God says, okay, they won't just take it face value. And here comes the chastening. So that we can learn from the Bible. That's what Scripture says right there. And then 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're almost done. We've got to get these kids back on the bus and get home. Just bear with me. I know some of you are probably shaking right now thinking about all the whippings you got when you was growing up. It's bringing back nightmares. Whoa. Isn't it amazing you got them spankings growing up and you're still alive today? Wow, we've done turned around and thinking that spanking's going to kill somebody. 1 Corinthians 12. Kids said, preacher, get us back on the bus. We've got to get home. 1 Corinthians 12. Sometimes we don't understand what chastening is. You know, we've got to make it clear so we can understand that. 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. The Bible says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. You remember a couple of weeks back, I told you I read something. It said this. The statement was, nobody's going to judge me but God. That's a scary place to be. But God does. He does judge us and He chastens us. And why does He do that? Look here, verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. God looks at us and we're not lining up. He chastens us that we should not be condemned with the world.
Amen.
Sometimes God's chastening comes along so that to keep us from condemnation. You understand something? You and I bear the name of Christ as His children. There's a certain testimony that God expects from His children. And when the world looks at us, we're to have a good report with those within and those without. And sometimes God looks at our life and He sees what we're doing and He sees how contrary we're living to the plan He has for our life and through the Word of God. And He judges us by the Word and by the plumb line, Jesus Christ Himself. He don't look. Listen, they, one time God looked at me and said, listen, let's look at our three deacons, Brother Dave, Brother Lee, Brother Bernie. He says, preacher, you're not lining up with them. Not one time in the 8 years I've been pastor here. You know, every time God looked at me, Brother Chris, it's been by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we got some good and godly deacons. We do. I would be pleased to be judged with that group. Because I feel how highly I think of it. But God looks at me according to Jesus. We got to get to the point where we quit looking at other Christians and amping ourselves up with them. We need to be amped up with God. Amen. God looks at our lives and He judges us and He brings chastisement into our life so that we would not be condemned with this world. Listen, we're the only Bible some of them folks at work won't ever read. We're the only Bible some of those folks you fish with, hunt with, golf with, shop with, the only Bible they're ever going to read. So that's what sometimes God brings chastening so that we'll be right with Him and people in the world will see Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Then here's the good one. How many of you, don't say it, have said this to your children or have had it said to you? I'm whipping you or correcting you because I love you. And this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Hebrews chapter 12. That's actually got some biblical foundation to it. Not all of it, but it does hurt God when he has to chasten us, I guarantee you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hebrews 12, 6, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." For whom the Lord loveth. You know the reason God chastens us? Because he cares about us. The purpose of God's chastening hand, he wants to keep us humble so we rely upon him. He wants to bring us to a point of repentance. He wants to bring us to a point in our life where we know we need to communicate with him constantly through prayer. He wants to chasten us so that we learn the scripture and we live scripture instead of enduring Christianity. Too often, that's how we live. We just endure. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are victorious in our faith. Because of Christ. So he brings these scriptures. He chases us, brings us, corrects us, and puts us right in our spot so that we can learn the word, so that we don't come under condemnation. No sadder statement than this. When you're witnessing and talking to somebody and you tell them what church you're from, where you're a member at, and they say, "I'd go to that church, but so-and-so did me wrong." That's condemnation. God doesn't want that testimony for you. Doesn't. Why does he do that? Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Dear friend, if the chastened hand of God's in your life, be thankful. It's because God loves you. It's because God loves you and he wants to correct you and he wants you to be more Christ-like. Was Jesus not beaten so that we would be healed? He chastens those whom he loved. You know the Bible says in Hebrew, in Isaiah 53, it pleased God for his son to go through such. Why would that be? Because he knew that his son would be redeeming many. And what a price Jesus paid for you and I. Purpose of God's chastening, all found in the Bible. And if we deal with each other and our children and those under us in the same manner, man, what development spiritually would be in their lives. I'll be honest with you, as a father, I have in chastening and correcting my children, I have failed more than I have done right. Standing guilty. In dealing with people, Brother Bernie, you know, as a pastor, I lead people. There's been times I have not corrected godly. Been wrong. But from by God's grace, as I grow and as I study, as I get in Scripture, Lord, I don't want to keep doing wrong. It's a maniac who thinks he can cut an inch off a board and make it grow longer. It's lunatics who run around and think they can keep sinning and going against God and think their fellowship and relationship with God's going to get better.
Amen.
So the chastening hand of God. And isn't it funny how that the first mention of it is with chastening is with God's people? Why? Because he chastens those whom he loves. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. Thank you for the studies. Thank you for the Bible clubs. Or for our prayer meeting. We ask you, Lord, to watch over the Johnsons as they travel up to North Carolina to see his sister. We pray, God, that her health would improve. God, if not, you would bring comfort to the family. Lord, I ask you now to protect the buses. Keep them safe. Thank you, Lord, for these little kids you brought our way. God, help us to be faithful as a church, not only to reach the kids, but the purpose is to reach the family. And God, continue to grow our church. I stand amazed at what you have done over these last 8 years here at Lock Haven. And God, we just submit ourselves to you, and we ask you to bless as we go our way this evening. Bring us back to our appointed place and time of service. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Bus kids, please come quickly.